Our gospel for today is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This first Sunday of Lent, we are dropped in to one of the most crucial points of Jesus' ministry. We're backing up a bit in Luke's Gospel. Jesus has just been baptized. The heavens have just been opened and the voice of God rang out and affirmed that Jesus is the Son of God, is God's beloved, and with Jesus, God is well pleased. Jesus hasn't even preached his first sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth yet. Before he can do anything, we hear that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and was led by that Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. We hear that he fasted for 40 days. This echoes the 40 days that many of the leaders from the Hebrew Scriptures, Moses and Elijah and others, they spend 40 days preparing for their work that lies ahead. Jesus, too, spends 40 days in the wilderness, and we hear at the end he is famished. At the end of his 40 days, he comes face to face with one of the most powerful temptations that we face as human beings. The temptation to preempt the will of God and take things into our own hands. To be sure, this is the very same temptation that has been with us since the beginning. Right? Since Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say, the serpent says? We recognize that tone of questioning here, right? In the tempter's first question, if you are the Son of God, even when Jesus resists, the temptations continue to come. The devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, "I'll give their glory and all this authority to you, for it has been given to me. All will be yours if you just worship me." That's all you have to do. I used to get uncomfortable with this when the devil says that all the world has been given over to him. It's not a very comforting thought, right? There's a Cuban-American theologian named Justo Gonzalez, and he changed the way I see this. He was writing about this temptation, and he said, "This does not mean that all the world and all that is in the world is bad. But it does mean that as a consequence of sin, going back to the Garden of Eden, the present world is ordered in a fashion that opposes God. is a world of injustice and oppression. And this is the result of evil's dominance over all of creation as a result of sin. Now, we may not be used to thinking about our world like this, but I think it's something that we constantly see in our world, right? The present world being ordered in a fashion that opposes the gospel. Right? Whole groups of people trying to preempt the will of God by taking things into their own hands. Right? This is the sin that Jesus is tempted with time and again in the wilderness. We take things into our own hands that gives rise to rulers who come to power by fanning flames of hatred and prejudice and things that are not aligned with the mission of God, not aligned with what God desires for our world, and promising a power and a sovereignty that is only God's to grant. I think something that's crucial to understand about these things that the devil tempts Jesus with is that everything the devil offers to Jesus will ultimately one day be his. All of creation will one day be made new in the light and the reign of God. The temptation is not for Jesus to claim all the kingdoms of the earth, because we know that that will happen. The temptation is to claim them prematurely and to claim them by giving in to the power of evil. The third and final temptation seems to be a temptation to see if even Jesus himself believes that he's the Son of God. Although we can see the temptation to jump off the pinnacle of the temple as a kind of publicity stunt to show others, show crowds of people who Jesus is, there's no mention of anyone around to be a witness. The devil seems to be saying, prove it to me and to yourself by jumping off the pinnacle so the angels can protect you. And he does this by quoting scripture. How's that for a surprise? The devil knows himself some scripture. Just throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. For it is written, he will command these angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. That's Psalm 91. We read it just a few minutes ago. And with each of these temptations that Jesus faces, he responds with scripture. One does not live by bread alone, he responds to the first temptation. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him is Jesus' response to the second temptation. That's Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. The third temptation where the tempter, where the devil quotes scripture to him, Jesus quotes back, says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. To me, this is a reminder that just because we hear scripture being quoted doesn't necessarily mean that it's a word that comes from God. In our sinfulness, in our living in a world of injustice and oppression, we can hear scripture quoted in all manner of ways that seek to further justify that injustice and oppression. Just a couple weeks ago in the state legislature in Oklahoma, there was debate on a bill that sought to ban abuse of students in schools. And there was a legislator that stood up and said they should allow abuse of students in schools because of some verses in Proverbs 22. Friends, this is not the world that God desires for us. And yet, this is the world as it is. And sadly, we face temptations like this as well. We will face temptations to take shortcuts, to preempt the will or the timing of God. We will attempt to spring ahead in our own sort of way, to a future time that is not yet ours to have. We'll face temptations to gain power or influence for our own good or the good of our cause in ways that are not aligned with God's desire. We face temptations to respond to hatred and violence with further hatred and violence. And it's in this season of Lent that we come face to face with these temptations. Earlier this week on Ash Wednesday, Pastor Aaron invited us to take up a faith practice, something that we can do so that when we feel pulled toward those desires, towards our own wants, in our own timeline of how we think things should go, we can respond from a rootedness in our faith. We've included those in this week's bulletin as well. You'll see the pink insert has those lists of faith practices. It's certainly not an exhaustive list, but meant to give some ideas for ways we can respond to the temptations of our world in faith. One of the things that I'm trying to do this Lent is to memorize little bits of Scripture so that when I feel pulled towards something that is self-serving, I can respond from faith. Psalm 51, 1-2 is one that's listed on the bulletin insert. Any of the ones that Jesus pulls from the Hebrew Scriptures in today's Gospel are great to memorize. Even the beginning of Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. It's a great one to help us hold fast in those times of temptation. Now, I know that some of you may have had to memorize Scripture for confirmation or for in your youth and are having a visceral reaction to this suggestion right now. I just want to make sure you know there is no requirement here. You are free in Christ to do what is helpful and life-giving. There will be no test for you who still may have some of those stress dreams. Be at peace. But these faith practices can help us stay rooted in our faith so that when we're tempted to force our own will rather than God's, we can build some muscle memory to keep us rooted in faith and reminded of who Jesus is for us. Because ultimately, these are temptations that Jesus will face again. We hear at the end of the reading that the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. And we see that opportune time at the end of our Lent journey as Jesus is being nailed to the cross. And the Roman soldiers are standing there mocking him, using strikingly similar language to what we've heard before. If you are the King of Jews, save yourself. Come down from the cross. If you are really who you say you are, use a little bit of that power. These are temptations that all of us will ultimately face. Temptations to preempt the will or the timing of God for our own gain. And my hope and prayer is that we can be rooted and grounded in the love of God in ways that help us respond to injustice and oppression in our world in love, in hope, in prayer, and in the confidence that God is exactly who we say God is. And that God will fulfill every promise to make all things new in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we hold fast to, no matter what temptations may come our way. It's that hope that we remind each other of when we can see temptations pulling at our neighbor. And it's that hope that will hold us fast and will keep us walking in the ways of Jesus. And for that, we can indeed say amen.